Glory. Sister Lindsay, do you know whether there's any out-of-tune keys on that piano? Not too bad. A little bit out. How many knew that the piano had some keys that were out of it? By show of hands. Some can, some can't. I hear it every now and then. Just depends on what song you're singing and what keys it's played in. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it is a proven fact that a piano, a natural piano, not an electric piano, but a natural string piano, from time to time, goes out of tune. And there's several different reasons why it can go out of tune. One can be the fluctuation of hot and cold, and it will cause the strings, because the whole purpose of tuning the piano is to tighten that string to the right spot to where it makes the right sound. And so really the piano tuning process is a stretching process. It's interesting. Yeah. Now, just over time, because it is a natural product of this earth, it's made out of wood, it's made out of metal. So just over time, it goes out of tune. Sometimes longer than others. But over time, it just goes out of tune. Right now, it's in need of tune. And we actually have someone coming to tune the piano this next week. And then sometimes it goes out of tune real quick if you really get to beating on that thing hard. And you get to playing it hard. I've talked to the different ones that tune the piano, and they make reference to the fact, well, you know, I know some folks that they need their piano tuned like at least every other week, because they play theirs hard. And so if you play it hard, it stretches the strings and it becomes out of tune. So just a little groundbreaking understanding that a piano is a tool of worship. It's something we use to make melody. It's something we use to make harmony. So when a piano is in tune, it's all in harmony. It all sounds just the way it's supposed to, functions just the way it's supposed to, and produces beautiful music when it's played like it's supposed to be. I mean, you know, if you go bang, 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 that's not beautiful music, but it's noise. Amen. Praise the Lord. So with that in mind here tonight, as I was, this message is fresh, it's new, I got it on the way to church this morning. And so you'll just have to bear with me, because it's just something the Lord spoke to my heart about, being in tune with Him, being in tune with God. And I'm fixing to share some scriptures out of the story of Elijah. And keep in mind about being in tune with God, because sometimes we're not backslid. We're not really struggling with anything. We're not against God. We're actually rejoicing in God. But sometimes we're just not in tune with God. Maybe it's like those times when you just are going through the motions, and you may not even realize that you've gotten out of tune with God. Because to be in tune with God is to hear every whisper to know every thought, to know every desire of what God would have in our lives is to be in tune with God. Oh, it's an awesome place to be. But because we are natural, carnal human beings still in this body of flesh, there's sometimes we just become a sour note. Whoa. There's just sometimes we go flat. It just, I trust maybe you understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's just flat. You know, it's just, you know, like, you know, maybe you've made your favorite dish, and you've made it many, many, many times, and you taste it, you think, there's just something missing. Something not quite right. So you rehearse the ingredients, and I think this is actually happening in our household, and you looked at the particular ingredient that you used, and it wasn't the one you normally use. You bought the generic. Anybody ever been there? And it just doesn't pop. It's still good. Are you getting the picture? It's still good, but it's just not right there. Praise God. What I'm after here tonight is to help encourage our hearts to where we get to where we can pop. We can be right there. We can be everything God wants us to be at that moment in time. Right in tune with God, right in sync with God, not missing one beat, if you will. Praise God. Because as we look at the life of Elijah and the story of Elisha, as the Lord was just speaking to me about this, I see things transpiring in that 3-year period of time in Elisha's life. That he starts out in tune with God, and then he's following God. But somewhere through the course of that 3 years of no rain, he's gotten a little out of tune. He's still doing what God wants him to do, but something's not popping there. It's just not there like it was when he started. Well, praise God. So let's start the journey here tonight in the story of Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17. You don't have to stand tonight. I've got lots of scripture I'm going to share. We're going to run through this story and point out some things that's going on. It's a mighty story. It's a powerful story. It's a wonderful story. But I'm hoping that we can get a little insight in this story maybe that we haven't maybe seen before or even thought about before. Because there's so much in this story that Elijah has done. So in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Here's the beginning of Elijah. Have no idea of his background. We don't know if he went to the school of prophets or not. We don't know if he went to Bible school or not. We don't know really anything of the history of Elijah other than the fact that he's a Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. Amen. And God had spoken to him to go talk to Ahab, who was king at this point in time, and let him know that it was going to stop raining. There was going to be a famine in the land. And so that's all we know about Elijah from this point forward is everything we're going to understand about Elijah. Anything past and in his previous life, we know nothing about. And so he obeys God. He's in tune with God. He's coming to the king, and he's decreeing to the king that it's not going to rain. And the word of the Lord comes to him and sends him to a hiding place. Because Jezebel's in the story too a little bit later. And Ahab is an evil king. And they've already killed a multitude of the prophets of God. And so here's Elijah doing something that takes very much courage and very much confidence and faith in God to go talk to the king who had already slaughtered all the prophets of the Lord. So put yourself in his shoes. He's in tune with God, is he not? Hallelujah. He's not doing what he wants to do. He's doing what God wants done. And he's doing it with courage. And he's following God on every precept, if you will, on every syllable, if you will, because he realizes his hand is in the Lord's. His life is in the Lord's hands, is what I was trying to say. And so he follows him, and he goes down to the brook. And sure enough, as you read the story, you find that the ravens came. They brought him bread, and they brought him flesh. Ravens, you know, an oversized crow. Same color, I do believe. And every morning and every evening, they would bring him bread and flesh. So, you can live by bread and steak. You can. You don't have to have vegetables all the time. But vegetables are good too. They're just harder for ravens to carry. Can you see a raven trying to carry, you know, a tomato, you know? But he's just bringing pieces of meat and pieces of bread. And Elijah is having a feast here. He's drinking water out of the brook. You got to realize here, this brook is coming off of a mountain. It's clean. It's crystal clear. It's cold. I mean, really, he's got it made right here. He's rejoicing in his God. Everything's going great. Everything's going good. He's hiding away from Ahab and Jezebel, and here God's feeding him. How many would like to be fed by a raven? It's interesting, you know, because they had to put it in their mouth first before they brought it to his. Sometimes I think we're a little finicky. How about you? Woo! There's the man of God, the prophet of God, and he's being fed by God. He's drinking water out of the brook. But as you read and the story goes on, the famine's coming, the drought's coming, and the brook dries up. The provision of God is coming to an end in this particular portion of Elijah's journey, of Elijah's life. So in other words, he's here, he's enjoying. We're not for sure how long he was here. We do know it was a 3-year span from the time he said it ain't going to rain to the time he prayed and the rain began to come again. So out of those 3 years, it's probably been several months. For sure, that he has been here being fed by ravens, bread and flesh, and drinking the water out of this brook. But now the brook dries up. That means it's time for change. You know that word everybody loves. It's time for change. That's kind of what tuning is all about. It's time for change. A lot of times we get stretched out of shape. Anybody ever heard the terminology bent out of shape? Does everybody understand what that terminology means? That means you got mad, you got frustrated, you got irritated, you're not happy. Woo! Sometimes circumstances of life get us bent out of shape, and when we're bent out of shape, we're not in tune. Now, you've heard me tell this and say this, anytime you're angry, you cannot be led by God. Why? Because you're already in control. Anger comes because you want it there. It doesn't just jump on you. It comes because you want it there. You want to be that way. Are you getting the picture? You can't be led by God when you're angry because you're already in control. And for God to lead you, you've got to have him in control. Praise God. So, you know, we when we get bent out of shape, we're out of tune. We're out of tune. We're not melodious. We may be loud and we may be noisy, but we're not melodious. Woo. Nobody likes to hear us. Our God. Are you kind of getting the picture here about being in tune with God? And so, Elijah's still in tune in 1 Kings 17 and 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, so he's in tune. He's hearing God. God's speaking. Arise, get thee up to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, this is interesting, and it's something that I thought was interesting. So the brook dries up. God's not going to use the raven any longer. Now he's going to use a widow woman with a son. And it makes a statement. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Well, when you read the story, when Elijah gets there, she doesn't jump up and say, oh, you're Elijah. God's already talked to me and I'm taking care of you. That's not how the story goes. When God said, I have commanded a widow to take care of thee, that what that is meaning and what it is telling us is God is working behind the scenes, and the widow woman doesn't even know God's working. Woo! But she's there, and she's at the right place. She's at the right time, and God's moving in her heart, preparing her for when more instructions come. So when God says, I've commanded her to take care of you, that doesn't mean he came down and set her down and said, all right, now you're doing this, this, and this, and this. It means he begins to work to where people will obey. He begins to reveal himself to where people want to do what's right. Oh, praise God. And so as the story goes on, so he arises, he leaves the brook, he goes there to Zidon and to Zarephath, and there as he comes into the city, here's this widow woman. She's walking around, she's gathering up sticks, whether in the city, outside the city, anyway. They make an encounter, and they start a conversation, and Elijah says, fix me a cake. And the widow says, well, all I've got left is enough for one, and I was fixing to make it for me and my son, and then we were going to die. I remember, though, God had already commanded. What is that? That means God had already set it in order that it was going to happen the way he wanted it to happen. It doesn't mean he spoke yet, because where is he speaking? He's speaking through Elijah, his man of God. And she has to respond in faith. She has to respond in confidence. Hallelujah. She has to be in tune. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so he says, you make me one first, then make one for you and your son. And she said, yes, I will do that. And she goes and makes him one, brings it to him. And as you go read the story, the barrel never ran dry. The oil never ran dry. Now we got to realize he's here at Zarephath for the remainder of time before he has the showdown on Mount Carmel. And so for possibly 2 years, this barrel of meal doesn't stop producing. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. The oil, the container of oil, every time she picks it up, enough pours out. Now, you can't tell me God can't meet the needs of his people. Hallelujah. I mean, we're gleaning here of the reality of what great harmony there is in our lives with our God when we are in tune with the Lord. That's when he will take care of our needs. Hallelujah. That's why we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret, because he will take care of those who will walk uprightly. Those who walk uprightly are in tune with God. Hallelujah. Why? Because they're wanting to do the will of God. I'm going to get a little deeper than that, though, but here we go. So here it is. Everything is going great. We're living in the miraculous. Day in, day out, we're living in the miraculous. Woo! But somewhere through here, even somewhere through the miraculous, Elijah's getting a little out of tune. He's getting a little out of tune. Now, I'm going to show you some things here in a moment. He's getting a little out of tune. And so, circumstance, situations begin to transpire to get him back in tune. You go read the rest of the story. Everything's going great. But all of a sudden, verse number 17, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Her son died. Right here in the middle of the miraculous. Right here in the barrel of meal that is not running dry, the cruse of oil that is not running dry. I mean, right here in the middle of the miraculous provision of God, protection of God, her son dies. Whoa. She did just like what everybody else would do, just like you and I do. God, why? She brought him to the man of God. What are you doing? What have you done? He carries him, takes him out of her arms, carries him up to his room, his bed, lays the boy down on his bed. He prays the same thing. You go read it. Read it for yourself. He prays the same. God, why have you, Lord, why have you done this? Yeah, I mean, you are taking care. I mean, he was saying, Lord, why have you done this? You got to realize now there hadn't been any prayer, any communication with God here for 2 years or more. We're just giving you an idea of rough estimate here. So he hasn't really had any communication from God other than the fact he's living in the miraculous, he's being taken care of. But as far as hearing from the word of the Lord, hasn't heard anything. So, as you go read the story, he lays him on his bed. He starts praying. Nothing's happening. If you want to move through me. Nothing's happening, just praying. So then the Bible says he lays down on him. Lays him on the bed. Flat on top of him. Gets up. Nothing happens. If you want to move through. Don't ever give up, church. It may just be a time of tuning. Woo! What's going on here? Oh, God's tuning Elijah again. Hallelujah. He's getting him back to where he's getting a little close, a little closer to the Lord, a little more in tune with God. I mean, he's just been living the life of rightly, if you will, so to speak. Everything's going great. Everything's going good. King's not after him. Jezebel's not after him. I mean, he's just eating high on the cornmeal, if you will, all day long. Woo, hallelujah. But all of a sudden the son dies and now he is not revived and he's not coming back. And three times he lays down on him and then the life comes back into him. First Kings chapter 17, verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth," or the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. This situation tuned the widow woman, and it tuned Elijah fresh and anew in his walk with God. You see, Elijah was a man of like passions. That's what the Bible says. And so here he is, 2 years, not hearing anything from God. What do you think's creeping up in his mind? Fear, doubt, unbelief. Am I really a man of God? Am I really God's prophet? Is God really? And you got to realize he's right here in the middle of the miraculous. But that's how we human beings are. Church, we're always in the middle of the miraculous of God. Woo, hallelujah. The power of God moves in this house in wonderful ways in a continual manner. Praise God. Yet there's still folks that have come into this house that are still lost. There's still folks that have come into this house. They're not healed. There's folks that come into this house and God deals mightily in their hearts and they're still not saved. What's going on here? Just because you're in the middle of miraculous doesn't mean you're in tune with God. How many remember that story in the Bible where Jesus was in the house and the power of the Lord was present to heal, and the house was so full that the four men bearing the one in his bed couldn't even get in the door. And the miraculous was there. But nobody was being healed. If you want to move, move through me. What are we going to do? We know he can heal him. We're going to move. Let's go to the roof. Let's tear it off and we'll drop him down right there where he's at. What is that? That's faith in action. That's what that is. Hallelujah. And because of their faith, that man walked out of that house. Hallelujah. And to my knowledge, there wasn't anybody else in the house got healed. But he did. Ooh, hallelujah. And so we see then there was a tuning going on right here for Elijah, refreshing him, reminding him, and tuning him back in with God and who he was to God and what he was doing for God. Hallelujah. And the little woman then, she knew for sure then, you know, God is with you, and whatever you say, that's what we're going to do. And I just want to remind you one more time, it's all right in the middle of the miraculous. There has to be some tuning sometimes, even in the middle of the miraculous. Hallelujah. And so now he's tuned again. And now, 1 Kings 18 and 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Here's the story now. See, he was getting a little out of tune. Hadn't heard from the Lord. Living in the miraculous, but yet, personally, not real active in his relationship with God. Never going to leave church. Never going to leave the Lord. But just not engaged. Please tune the piano. Something's a little out. Something's a little off. Can't put a finger on it. So let's just tune the piano. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. I know what the end is. Hallelujah. And so now here we are, the showdown on Mount Carmel. How many know the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal and the fire falling from heaven? How many know that story? Read that story. Heard that story preached. The power of God. Hallelujah. So we know that Elijah's in tune with God now, because God speaks to him. And I mean, he's up. He's headed. I mean, he's headed for Ahab. He's headed down there to show himself, reveal himself. They still want to kill him. You understand that, right? They still want to kill him. But he still goes and shows himself to Ahab. He meets up with Ahab's servant. And as you read the story, Obadiah fears God. He actually serves God. And he actually had saved 100 of the prophets of God and hid them in 50s in different places from Jezebel and Ahab when they were slaughtering all the prophets of the Lord. And so he was a God-fearing man. And so Elijah meets him on the road and says, go tell your master that I am here and I want to talk to him. And he's scared to death. Because if I go tell him and then all of a sudden the Spirit of God just takes you away and you're gone, he's going to kill me. You realize nobody knew where Elijah was because God had kept him and hid him. And now he steps on the scene, and Obadiah's like, I know it's you, but, I know how you are. You can be here one moment and be gone. He said, no, it's going to happen. You go tell the king it's going to rain. Wow. And this is when he brings him, says, go tell Ahab to meet me on Mount Carmel. Bring all the prophets of Baal. And this is where the showdown happens. Elijah's in tune. Or is he? He starts lining it up. Starts getting it ready. He says, all right, you prophets of Baal, you go first. They took the bullock. They cut it up. They put it on that altar. And he said, don't put any fire under it. The God that is God, he will answer by fire. Go pray. He makes a statement in 1 Kings 18 and 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, this is when he's given them the ultimatum, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. I and I only. He's getting out of tune right here. He thinks he's the only one can do it. He thinks he's the only one that's serving God. He thinks he's it. He's getting a little out of tune here. Oh, my. And he makes some good statements. Choose you this day whom you will serve. God or Baal. And let the God that be God answer by fire. And then it's revealed, in my opinion, just a little bit later. And you may not agree with me, but in 1 Kings 18 and 27, then it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. I thought about that for a little bit. Some folks think that's funny. But if you stop and think about it, it was becoming a problem of Elijah's. I and only I am the only prophet left. And then he starts mocking. I have found through the course of my life, people that like to mock are full of pride. Very arrogant. And so when I read that, I thought, yep, he's getting out of tune here. Oh, he's doing the right thing. He is standing for God, but he's a little bit out of tune. I personally have run across this in amongst Christians who deride sinners for their wickedness and evil and have no compassion on them at all. What is that? It's out of tune. That's not sweet. That's not kind. That's not merciful. That's not compassion. Woo. Get a little out of tune. They love God. They're serving God. They're in church. They'll pray when it's time to pray. They'll sing when it's time. But they're getting out of tune. They're getting out of tune. Their attitude stinketh. Ooh. And so here's Elijah. He's doing the right thing. He's doing what God's told him to do. But he's not doing it possibly with the right attitude. I've been there. I've done that. And I had to be tuned. Because that's not acceptable unto the Lord. And so we see as time goes on, their God doesn't answer. Baal doesn't answer. We know Baal's not going to answer. He's not God. He's a false God. Then Elijah, and this kind of maybe even puts a little bit to why Elijah dug a trench around it. And why Elijah put 4 barrels of water on it. And then another 4 barrels of water on it. Was he really wanting God to look good, or was he wanting Elijah to look good? And another four barrels of water on it. Wow, that's a lot of water in a time of drought. Woo! He's getting out of tune. What makes you think that, Brother Pepper? Well, we'll see here in a minute. We'll see. You'll see, too. He's getting out of tune. And he prays. And the fire falls. And the fire of God consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the rocks, and the water. So here we are, right in the middle of the miraculous and the power of God moving. But Elijah's getting out of tune. You see, you got to understand, the miraculous power of God really doesn't have anything to do with you. That's why it's so important for you and I to remain in tune. Because that has everything to do with us. And our relationship with our God. Hallelujah. God's going to move regardless of us a multitude of times. Because there's a multitude of times, if we'll admit it, we've not really been in tune. But yet God comes by. And yet God moves with the miraculous to help us get in tune. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's all going to depend on you and I whether we get in tune or not. See, I mean, I've watched the piano tuners work on this piano right here. And I've watched them work on one. Man, this one's a rough one. It doesn't like to get in tune. How easily are you tuned by God? See, man, I'm working with this one. Sometimes I got to stretch it even a little bit farther and then back off so it can be in tune. It all depends on you, how hard and how hot God's going to have to move in your life and my life to get us in tune. Woo! Hallelujah. Remember, all these circumstances and all these situations, God has used to get people back in tune with him. So here's Elijah. The power of God has fallen. Hallelujah. And God has won. The people have repented. Now remember, you know, his statement, I only remain the prophet of the Lord. The Baal's prophets are 450 men. And no, the more I look at that, the more I think of that, man, what a braggy statement. Woo. 1 Kings 18:42. Now it's all over. God's won. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah told him, go. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And he went seven times. Now, just as a reminder, it took three times laying on the boy to get the miracle to happen. Now it's taken seven times to get the rain to come. Are you kind of seeing the progression here? Something's not quite right. It's not just popping. Woo. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings 19:3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Wait a minute. Is this the same man that challenged the prophets of Baal and won? and saw the miraculous hand of God consume all that sacrifice, and he slew all the prophets of Baal, and now he's sitting underneath a juniper tree wanting to die. All because some wicked woman said, I'm going to kill you tomorrow. Why did that affect him so adversely? Because he was getting out of tune with God. See, circumstances are not coming to affect us adversely. They're coming to get us into tune. But if we resist the tuning of God, then they will affect us adversely. And we will run! I got news for you. When you're running, you can't hear the voice of God. Same like when you're angry, you can't be led by God. When you're running and fleeing, you can't be led by God. Because what? You're in control. You're running. Why? Because you're scared. Fear not. Be of good courage. Have you ever read those words of the Bible anywhere? I mean, for Joshua, for Mary, when the angel came. I mean, yeah, it's a scary thing when you're serving God and needing the power of God. It's a very scary thing, but don't run. Just be tuned. Let God be God. So he's running. He's running. He's wanting to die. Oh, my. I'm looking at this like, is this the same man? In 1 Kings 19 and 8, and he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days, 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. So here we are. He's wanting to die. He lays down and goes to sleep underneath the juniper tree. I think that's kind of ironic, because if I want away from anything, I just go to sleep. I've battled kidney stones all my life, and when I was in great, great pain, I just want to go to sleep. And I would, believe it or not, in the midst of all that pain, I would make myself, I'd get finally get in one of them positions where it was relieved a little bit, and I'd make myself go to sleep. I guess it's just in hopes when I woke up, it'd be gone. That's how I'd get away from it. I'd just go to sleep. And so here, I mean, what's that mean? He's depressed. He's discouraged. His faith is weak. For whatever reason, he's doubt. He's full of doubt. He's full of fear. And he just, and I'm sorry, I'm guilty of this. He just soon went on to heaven. I mean, it's not just been that long ago. I said, man, Lord, take me on. I'm ready to go. Why? Just because circumstances of life and situations that I just didn't want to have to deal with. So, Lord, just take me on. I'm ready. He didn't take me. I'm still here, and you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier. Praise God. Amen. And so here he is. He goes to sleep, and guess what happens now? An angel comes. Here's some water and some food. Oh, thanks. He goes back to sleep. I mean, you know, really, he is very out of tune right now, if you haven't figured that out. I mean, you know, here's an angel visiting him. What would you do if an angel came and visited you, woke you up in the middle of the night, Matthew? Scared to death. I would too. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I remember a pastor friend of ours, and I'm just going to share this quickly because it was his desire, it was his longing, it was his prayer that he wanted to see an angel before he went home to be with the Lord. And his last name was Brother High School. He was an older gentleman up in Missouri, and we preached revival for him, and he was telling us about this. And his church, he was in his church praying one night. And he was praying, God, I just love to see an angel. And while he was praying, he said the hair on the back of his neck began to stand up. And he kind of lifted it because he was facing the front of the church and the doorway was in the back. And he's facing the front of the church and he kind of raised his head and kind of opened his eyes and the whole place was just glowing. And he knew God was answering his prayer. And he was there, and he knew that it was an angel, but he couldn't turn around. He said, God, I've changed my mind. I don't want to see one. And it was gone. Woo. Yeah, so, when an angel comes on the scene, it's like, whoa. But with Elijah, he is so in despair here and so depressed there that the angel didn't even stir him. So right here he is in the midst of miraculous and out of tune. Not just once, twice. It says, eat, drink, for the journey is too great for thee. And after that, 1 Kings 19:8, and he rose, did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. I didn't look this up, but the more I thought about it, remember he was in Judah. This is where he was underneath the juniper tree. He was in Judah, the land of Judah. Mount Horeb is where Moses got the law from God. It was a long ways away, probably about a 40-day journey. I didn't look it up, but just the reality of what it says, he went 40 days and 40 nights in the power and the strength of what God did for him right there, and he's still not in tune. God's moving all around him, and God's trying to help him, but if you haven't figured it out yet, your will is one of the most important factors of a move of God in your life. Your will. Not God's power. Your will. How bad do you want a move of God? Do you want to be in tune with God? Or do you think you can get away with more if you're not in tune with God? And you can plead ignorance. I have run across people who say, don't tell me what the Bible says about this. I don't want to know. Because if I know, then I'll have to do something different. Too late. You've already revealed that you know. Woo. And so, he's went 40 days, 40 nights. He's went to the Mount of God, Horeb. And there in 1 Kings 19:9, the next verse, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? This is how I know he's still not in tune with God yet. Because he says the same thing he said before. Have you ever been there, giving God the same excuse of why you're where you're at? He says the same thing. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Lord, what's he saying there? Lord, I have served you, done this. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. My, he has forgotten what's just transpired, not much before this, when the children of Israel repented and said, the Lord, he is God, and they turned back to God, and they were going to serve God, and he slew the prophets of Baal, and he's still saying the same thing, even though all the scenarios have changed. What's that mean? He's stuck in his own mind frame of what he thinks, what he wants, and how he wants to do it. He's out of tune. Wow. It says the very same thing. Here's God's response. 1 Kings 19:11. And he said, go forth. Stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. Hallelujah. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. I'll stop right there. I was reading commentary on this, and he was sharing that in the original language, the writers knew what was being said here. And he put it kind of like this. Said, the angels of the Lord went before the Lord, and they shook the mountain because they were coming ahead of the Lord. And the angels of the Lord, woo, wow, the wind, the shaking. Oh, I want to also share this with you, that do you realize he was inside a cave in that mountain? And this mountain is rocking and rolling, if you will. It is shaking. The rocks are breaking. And he's inside this cave. He hadn't made it out yet. The Lord said, come out and see. But he hadn't come out yet. And so here it is. And they said, the angels of the Lord are coming before in the strong wind and breaking the rocks. And the angels of the Lord are coming before in the earthquake and shaking the whole mountain. And the angels of the Lord are coming in fire, and everything is seen. What are they doing? They are preparing the way for the Lord to arrive. Woo, that's how that heavenly host works. Glory to God. I read that and I thought, well, that's just like our God. Hallelujah. And when God shows up on the scene, in other words, those were all just signs, the Lord's on his way. Woo, hallelujah. And then after all of that great commotion, the mountain shaking, rending, rocks breaking, the whole thing quaking, and the fire of God burning outside. And after all of this great commotion, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood in the entering of the cave. See, now he's went out. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, this to me is this, it's our God. What doest thou here, Elijah? Did you notice God didn't change the question at all? I got news for you. God's never going to change the question until you answer it right. Woo, why is God always dealing with me like that? Because you ain't getting it and you ain't being tuned. Woo, why is this always? Because you ain't getting it and you ain't getting tuned. Hallelujah. He asked the same question again to Elijah. Wow. Now, Elijah wrapped his face in his mantle. And there's a reason he did that. Remember, he's on the Mount of God. And remember, Moses got to see God face to face. That wasn't a natural thing or a normal thing. And Elijah knew that if you see God, you're going to die. And so that's why he wrapped his face in that mantle, stepped out there to hear what God had to say. I think after all the heavenly host preparing for the arrival of the Lord, I'm thinking maybe Elijah's starting to wake up about his condition. He steps out. God asks the same question. What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah gives the same answer. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. It's like the Lord just didn't even acknowledge that statement. And all God does is give him a brand new directive of what he's supposed to do. And right there, at that moment, Elijah received his tuning. He finally realized excuses will not hold water with God. And that it's time for me to rise up and get in tune with my God. Whoa! Glory, glory, hallelujah to the Lamb. And what does he tell him? And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimish, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, this is where Elisha first comes mentioned in the Bible. Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, there we go, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Whoa. I thought when I first read that, I thought, well, maybe God is answering his prayer. Because now he's letting him know you're going to depart and you're going to train somebody else to take your place. That's not really what was going on. It just took a little time for that training to take place. Hallelujah. And so Elijah was not astonished at this at all. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Oh, and by the way, verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Oh, by the way, Elijah, you're not the only prophet left. Elijah didn't even pay attention to the reality that there was 100 prophets left when he met Obadiah in the way, if I'm remembering his name correctly. And I may not, because he was just kind of a bystander in the whole story. But anyway, there was 100 prophets that he saved, and he missed that. He missed that. Why? Because he wasn't in tune with God. Right there, God was letting him know, you're not the only one. I've got 100 prophets. And so now he's coming to the place where he has to encounter God face to face. Hallelujah. I really believe he's standing there with his face wrapped up and his knees are knocking. Because he's realizing my excuses are not really right. And I'm really not in tune with God. And oh, whatever God tells me now, I think I'm going to get in tune with him and do what he asked me to do. Woo, hallelujah. And so here God's asking him to go anoint kings and anoint his successor. And Elijah is glad to move on up, hallelujah, and be in tune with God and start back on his journey that somewhere he got off track of. In the midst of all of life's circumstances, you and I get off track. Oh, we don't quit coming to church. We don't quit singing. We don't quit playing. We don't quit doing whatever the pastor needs us to do. But down deep inside, just not there. What is that? I'm out of tune. I don't have my personal relationship up to date with my God to where he can lead me, guide me, shape me, mold me, direct my paths. I mean, I told you before, you know, when the Bible says the righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord, that doesn't mean God comes down. And God will never make you do anything in your entire life. If you want to go to hell, go ahead. God says, I've got a plan of salvation. And if you want deliverance, I have it. Hallelujah. If you want forgiveness of sin, I have it. Hallelujah. And if you want my blessings in your life, then I can get you in tune with me and you can have those too. That's our God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please tune the piano. Woo. See, sisters. Now you got something to remind your husbands when they're getting a little out of tune. Honey, please tune the piano. Husbands, now you got something to remind their wives about when they're getting a little out of tune. Because believe it or not, wives get out of tune also. Because we all get out of tune. Believe it or not, pastors get out of tune also. Oh, they're still going to preach. They're still going to pray. They're still going to help. But there is just something about being in tune with an almighty God that supersedes all of that work. Hallelujah. And brings us into that right, harmonious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where we've still got joy. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to our God. You see, harmony is where you're going to find joy. Woo, harmony is where you're going to find peace. Hallelujah. Harmony. I mean, you stop and think about it. Harmony. There ain't nothing that sounds better than harmony. I am so looking forward to going to heaven where all those hosts of millions are going to be singing. And guess what? We're going to be singing in harmony. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it is going to be one of the melodious, beautiful sounding, loud choruses sung. Because God is not intimidated by us giving all. And I got news for you. When you're in tune with God, that's what you're wanting to give. You're wanting to give it all. Hallelujah. You don't want to hold anything back. You realize Elijah was trying to hold some things back. For whatever reason, he just got down there in that pity party pit. What is that? That is no more than pride. That is pride at its prime, believe it or not. Why? Well, because there's no reason to have a pity party when God is in control of your life. There is no reason at all. But the only reason we have them, and I got news for you, we all have them. Yeah, even us guys that think we're so tough, nothing bothers us, we got rhinoceros hide. I'm just speaking of myself, if you haven't noticed that. I think I'm the only one with the rhinoceros hide in this church right now. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. It didn't come easy. It came after a multitude of tunings from the Lord. Hallelujah, because there's been a multitude times I have gotten out of tune, and I've just done it because I wanted to do it. I said it because I wanted to say it.
Yep.
I preached it because I wanted to preach at you. Those days are over. I am in tune now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching to you, John, unless the shoe fits. You guys have to wear it. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, I'm preaching to... You know, as I took... Further... Hallelujah. That means me. Because actually, when God began to deal with me about this, He was dealing with me. He was dealing with me. And He was wanting me to get more in tune with Him. Oh. And then He said, preach it. Preach it. Hallelujah. Oh, church. Don't think sometimes that it's going to come easy to get in tune. It just depends on how long you've been out of tune. Remember that string I was telling you about? I said, man, I got to really work with this. And how come? Because it's been out of tune so long. That hammer has kept hitting it. Oh, my, thy word is like a hammer. Woo! That word, you know, sometimes that word of God just keeps a hitting us and hitting us until we get totally bent out of shape. Whoa. And then it takes longer for God to bring us back into shape. And if we just would have heard what the Spirit was saying to the church to begin with, we'd not been so out of tune. Praise God. You see, that's our next Serious Servants Institute is worship in listening. Glory. Stand with me. Could I have a piano player that could endure a piano out of tune? Help is on the way. Glory. Can I have some believers tonight who realize something's not there? It's just not popping. Just not quite. I think Isaac testified about it. Where I used to be. Not quite where I used to be. I'm not quite as sensitive to the Spirit of God as I used to be. I once was filled with the Holy Ghost, but I've went my own way, done my own thing. Exalted my will against God's will too many times now, and it's not there. Just don't feel anything. Remember what I said? The majority of all this happened right in the middle of the miraculous. So it wasn't God not moving. It was Elijah not responding, not surrendering, allowing his own mind to defeat him instead of standing strong on what he already really knew. Tune me, Jesus. Tune me. I want to be in harmony with you. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. God, I thank you, Lord God, for your word, your truths. God, your desires you revealed to us this morning as you spoke to us. Hallelujah, your open invitation that you're there. You're wanting us to come unto you. Oh God, you're wanting us to realize we're a little bit out of tune, God. Just a little bit out of tune, Lord. Oh Lord, that old man seems to be doing more than that new man does. God of heaven, I want to get back in tune with you. I want to get back to walking in harmony with you, Lord. Oh, hand in hand with Jesus. God of heaven, let your Holy Ghost just come down in this house, Lord, and begin to melt our hearts. Hallelujah. Oh, begin to speak in that still, small voice to our minds, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord, and let there be a renewing of our minds, Lord God, and a relinquishing of our own control, and a giving in to thy Holy Ghost and thy holy word and thy holy ways, O God. Hallelujah. To be back in tune, O Lord, back in tune, Lord, so that we can walk together and your will can be done on earth as it is in heaven, O God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anyone here tonight that you might just say by making your way to the altar, I want to be tuned by God. I want to be fine-tuned by God. I want to be closer. Closer to my Lord and closer to my Savior. I want to be just like my King. Oh, my King is known by mercy. My King is known by love. My King is known by kindness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be our God. Blessed be our God.